Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, Dave Bach here to talk about Chapter 19. Chapter 19 opens our discussion of statistical inference by looking at confidence intervals for a proportion. We pay careful attention to helping students understand what a confidence interval means and how to interpret it correctly. Here are 10 important points to keep in mind. 1. You can use the familiar setting of opinion polls to develop the concept of a confidence interval for a proportion. Students can see that we know our sample proportion and hope to estimate the true proportion among all voters. And they've heard about margins of error on the news. 2. By now, we probably don't need to say this, but checking the assumptions and conditions is always a critical first step. Do we have a random sample? Less than 10% of the population? More than 10 successes and failures? Absent these, we can't use a normal model. 3. Build your first confidence intervals without using a messy formula or looking up a critical value for Z. You can base the discussion on our sampling model for proportions and the 68-95-99.7 rule. By now, students easily associate two standard deviations with 95%. After they grasp the general idea, you can deal with the finer points, like a critical value of 1.96 rather than 2. 4. Finding the standard deviation necessary to describe the sampling variability requires that we know P. We don't. Hey, if we did, we wouldn't need to estimate it with a confidence interval. Students will probably suggest using the sample proportion as an estimate of the unknown P. That's great statistical thinking, and it allows you to point out the distinction between the standard deviation we can't know and the standard error we'll use as our best available estimate. 5. Concentrate on helping students get the interpretation of the interval right. It's quite common they will misunderstand some of the nuances. Students may think 95% is a probability. It's better to use the term confidence. Probability refers to long-run behavior of a random variable, and the population proportion is not a random variable. It is what it is. Maybe our interval captured it, maybe not. The 95% is about our own uncertainty, not about the interval or the population. 6. Students may also think that 95% of other samples will have p-hats in our interval. This is based on the misconception that our interval is special in some way. Other samples are targeting the same thing we are, the true population proportion. They aren't trying to agree with us. 7. Some students will think they're 95% sure they know the sample proportion. Actually, I'm 100% sure of that. P-hat's not just in the interval. It is, by construction, smack dab in the very center of the interval. Imagine that. Remind them that sample results are known, but populations are not. We're trying to catch a glimpse of the unknown, and that's what we'll write our conclusions about. 8. Spend time thinking about how our level of confidence is related to the margin of error, the interval width, and the sample size. Messing with the formulas won't be nearly as convincing as letting students ponder and discuss these connections based on common sense. It's common sense that very precise statements are risky. That's why the weatherman predicts we'll get between 4 and 8 inches of snow. A prediction of 5 to 6 inches would be more helpful, perhaps, but it's far less reliable. It's common sense that the more slack you cut yourself, the more faith you can have that you're right. 9. It's also common sense that estimates based on larger samples are usually better. And better means that you get higher precision in your estimate, a narrower interval, or higher confidence, or both. 10. As you do the calculation that determines the sample size necessary to achieve a desired level of accuracy and confidence, point out that this is part of the process of designing a study. We just didn't know how to do it several chapters ago when we discussed design issues. We did say back then that the size of the sample needed depended only on the level of accuracy desired, regardless of the size of the population. It was hard for some to imagine that. But now we see that the calculation rests only on level of confidence and margin of error, not population size.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.